It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 67 of Radio TCX.
Your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
Last week, Fantasy Flight published an article spoiling more cards for the upcoming TIE Aggressor expansion.
Yes, we got all the sweet pilots coming with the TIE Aggressor as well as all of the upgrade cards.
The TIE Aggressor is the Imperial contribution coming from Wave 11, and it's the first Imperial turret upgrade platform. So there's a lot of interesting versatility for this ship that we're going to cover today.
All right, let's jump right to it.
So the TIE Aggressor is relatively small pack. It's got four pilot cards, which is pretty typical, two generics, two named pilots, and then it's only got, I believe, five upgrade cards.
Yeah, and two of which are repeats, the twin laser turret and the lightweight frame. Which are both good cards to get more of.
So let's start by looking at the newly spoiled pilot cards. We've got both generics now. We had initially seen the Sinar Specialist, which was the pilot skill 2 TIE Aggressor. Of course, all the TIE Aggressors have the same stat line, 2 attack dice, 2 agility dice, 4 hull, 1 shield. And his action bar is focus, target lock, and barrel roll.
And it's got the turret slot as well as 2 missile slots.
And both of the named pilots have an elite pilot talent slot. So the pilot skill 2 Sinar Specialist comes in at 17 points. And then recently spoiled, we have the Onyx Squadron Escort, which is pilot skill 5. Same upgrade bar, but for 19 points. So for 2 more squad points, you get a 3-point pilot skill boost.
Right, and this is pretty nice. We see, especially with the turret carriers, like those either hired gun or gray squadron Y-wings, often would go up to pilot skill 4 to get ahead of, say, contracted scouts. When you're playing a generic, there's a decent risk that one of your ships will get eliminated before it even has the chance to fire. And especially with the TIE Aggressors, who only have 5 hit points, yeah, you can back that up with 2 green dice or modify that up with lightweight frame up to 3 green dice, but that's still only 5 hit points. And in the current environment, there's a lot of 4 or 5 dice attacks that are pretty consistent. That could really punch through that defense. And so making sure you have the right pilot skill for the environment where perhaps only 1, maybe 2 ships are shooting at your squad before you have a chance to return volley is a big deal. So having that option between the 19 and the 17 points, bumping up from 2 to 5, it's not too bad. You can still fit 4 of those with twin laser turret. You lose the lightweight frame. So that makes that a fun meta decision on whether or not you're going for the pilot skill 2 or the pilot skill 5.
And defensively, the TIE Aggressor falls in line with a lot of existing X-Wing ships. So it's got the 2 agility dice, 4 hull, and 1 shield, which is the same as you'll see on the Hawk. It's the same that you'll see on the Kiraz fighter from Scum, the seldom-used Kiraz fighter. What I think sets this ship apart, though, is the upgrade array, specifically having that turret option. Makes it feel, I don't know, closer to the Hawk than I would put it closer to the Kiraz.
Yeah, I mean, the 17-point generic comes in at just 1 point more than a Hawk. It's got 2 missile slots instead of a crew slot. They both have the turret slot. But the TIE Aggressor has the barrel roll action, which Hawks would really like. And I'm presuming the TIE Aggressor is going to have a better dial than the Hawk. Because it's really hard not to have a better dial than the Hawk.
The Hawk, which was released in Wave 3 of X-Wing all the way back then. Even then, the dial seemed pretty restricting. I would fully expect this ship to have a better dial. I wouldn't be surprised if this ship had some sort of K-turn or some way to turn around to, which would be another big advantage for it. But like you said, yeah, that native barrel roll is a huge boon to a turret platform. You can do things like put vectored thrusters on a Hawk or a Y-Wing, but that's just an added point cost here, and that'll put you above the generics typically for what you're seeing with the TIE Aggressor.
The TIE Aggressor also, if we're comparing it to Hawk, does have a much better primary weapon value.
Yeah, much better in that it's a usable primary weapon value.
So as far as the 4 TIE Aggressors with twin laser turret loadout, Tim, do you like the Onyx Squadron Escort Pilot Skill 5 version or the Sinar Specialist Pilot Skill 2 version?
Okay, so I haven't done the math on it, but my gut instinct, like right when we saw the Sinar Specialist, everyone was talking about, oh, let's put lightweight frame on there and twin laser turret, and that gets us up to 25. We can fit 4 of those in a list. I am not yet convinced that the Sinar Specialist with lightweight frame and twin laser turret is better than this typical Thug Life, we call it, which is the scum for Syndicate Thug Y-Wings with just twin laser turret and unhinged astromech. So in general, I would actually favor the classic for TLT list over that. I feel like the Onyx Squadron twin laser turret list, where you just have the pilot skill 5 Onyx Squadrons with the twin laser turret, no other upgrades, that feels like a meta call. So I feel like if you're in an environment where suddenly twin laser turret Y-Wings becomes a problem again, this is where you roll out those pilot skill 5s to try and beat out the other twin laser turret lists by destroying a ship before it ever gets to go. You also do have that advantage on the 2 agility dice, which will come into play long-term, where if you're getting shot at by, you know, 3 or 4 different twin laser turrets, occasionally they'll only generate 1 or 2 hits, and you'll get the 1 or 2 evades you need to avoid it. Whereas if you're a agility 1 ship, like a Y-Wing, and you're getting shot at with a twin laser turret, it's almost guaranteed that you're going to take damage.
Yeah, that would be an interesting matchup, the 4 TIE aggressors, higher pilot skill versus 4 Y-Wings, where the aggressors, twin laser turrets, are more likely to hit because the Y-Wing has reduced agility, but they need to hit 3 more times.
Right, where you could theoretically kill a TIE aggressor in 3 twin laser turret shots.
And the most frustrating thing will be if one of your 8 TLT salvos does not hit on that opening engagement, because then they're going to have all 4 of their Y-Wings to fire back.
Which is very likely, even between just the 4, going to kill one of your aggressors. And if you can't kill one of those Y-Wings on the first volley, you're going to be put at a huge disadvantage. The other point I'd bring up to that is we still actually don't know what the TIE aggressor's dial looks like, which is going to be a big point of discussion, I think, today. So I think that's going to very much impact your decision. Having the barrel roll's huge, but you've got all your 3-speed maneuvers are green in a typical Thug Life 4 twin laser turret Y-Wing build. So that's a pretty mobile arrangement. They don't have a huge restriction on what maneuvers they can perform at any given time. But I think we should get off this twin laser turret conversation for a moment and switch over to the star of the show, Lieutenant Kestall, which is the pilot skill 7.
Whoa, you're skipping one. I know we jumped around pilot skill order, but we got to talk about double edge for a second.
I wanted to talk about the one I'm more interested in, Carson. I feel like that's the better way to go. But we can talk about double edge if you want. This guy is a named pilot, pilot skill 4, 19 points base, so it comes in as the same point cost as the Onyx Squadron Escort generic TIE aggressor. This one's got an elite pilot talent on his upgrade bar, and he has a pilot ability which reads, once per turn, after you perform a secondary weapon attack that does not hit, you may perform an attack with a different weapon.
Yeah, so that is an interesting ability, which I think is pretty terrible on a TIE aggressor platform.
Yeah, so this ability confused me a little bit. First, you've got the lower pilot skill, which is kind of problematic for a ship that you're supposed to invest a lot of points into. The problem I see here is that, I mean, if you're investing enough points that you have 2 different weapons, I guess you always have your primary, so that counts as a weapon. But, like, what, you throw unguided rockets on here to get that 3 attack dice shot, you miss, you get to shoot again. It's going to be hard to generate a lot of modification on those 2 shots.
Right. Well, so if you have unguided rockets and, say, a twin laser turret, you fire the rockets, they don't hit. Okay, now you get to shoot with the twin laser turret. Why didn't you just start with the twin laser turret, which is going to have a higher expected damage output than the unguided rockets?
Yeah, and they tried to argue in Fantasy Flight's article about using some more control weapons, like an ion cannon turret or something, where your opponent tries to avoid the ion effect and then you can try and push damage later. I just don't see that as a realistic goal. And I think the key problem being here, if you do load it out, say, with unguided rockets for 2 points and then a twin laser turret for 6 points, we're talking about a 27-point pilot skill 4 ship that in the metagame as it's been for the last few cycles, this ship could easily get taken off the board before it ever gets to fire once.
Now, I don't think double edge is a terrible option. I just don't think you're really using him for his ability. Double Edge comes in at the same cost as the Onyx Squadrons, so that 19 points, but offers the elite pilot talent slot upgrade. So really, if you're just taking like one of them with adaptability, it's the same as a Onyx Squadron. And you get this ability, which is about worth 0 points.
I do think if you take more that perspective where, okay, I'm paying for a slightly lower pilot skill with an elite pilot talent, I could see you running a double edge with, say, a twin laser turret and Predator or some sort of persistent modification that you're going to be able to use on that twin laser turret shot. And then you always have the added bonus of, well, my twin laser turret missed both shots, so now I'm just going to use my primary weapon and hope to throw some damage out there. Having an extra opportunity to attack is not a problem. So I could definitely see this as an option if you're choosing to just run, say, one TIE Aggressor in your list to fill in a gap.
Right. So the ability is not great, but you're paying basically 0 points because this guy costs the same as the pilot skill 5. And if you want, you can make him pilot skill 5. So really, it's just, you know, where will be the right role for double edge. But I think moving on to Lieutenant Ketzel, you'll definitely see a bit more value out of that pilot ability.
So Lieutenant Kestal is the pilot skill 7 named pilot here. She comes in at 22 points and has a pretty sweet ability. When attacking, you may spend one focus token to cancel all of the defender's blank and focus results. Now, this is pretty great.
And of course, she also has an elite pilot talent slot.
Of course.
But yeah, this ability is really good, especially on a turret carrier where the best defense against turrets is auto thrusters. The main thing to realize when understanding how Lieutenant Ketzel's ability is going to work is that the attacker modifies the defense dice before the defender does.
This is a commonly missed part of the rules that people aren't always aware of. So the way a attack roll, defense roll works is the attacker rolls the attack dice. The defender has an opportunity to modify them if they have any abilities. Then the attacker modifies the attack dice, and then those are set. Then we move to the defense dice, where the defender rolls the defense dice, the attacker has an opportunity to modify them, and then the defender has an opportunity to modify them, and that's the final result for defense dice. So this happens before the defender has an opportunity to activate auto thrusters or spend focus tokens to generate more evades.
Right, and even against, say, like a dash with Lone Wolf, you can get rid of that blank result. There's a lot of little impacts. Ray rerolling blanks, you can remove those. You don't get the blank that they add from Finn, but they roll any blanks on the initial roll, remove those.
Well, one thing I really like about this ability, or what makes it powerful, I suppose, is that you get to see whether or not your attack's going to be able to push damage through by using this ability. There's no risk there. So let's say I'm using my twin laser turret. I roll 2 hits, and then my opponent rolls a double focus roll, and they've got a focus token. At this point, I'm like, well, I can spend my focus token, cancel both of those, and then guarantee the damage. Or if they already rolled 2 natural evades, I don't have to take a gamble. I just don't use the ability. So I think there's a good value there. In that way, it's a lot like the crack shot elite pilot talent card.
Right. If on your attack roll, you don't roll any focus results, then this pilot ability operates a lot like crack shot. However, the risk is embedded in your attack roll, where say you roll hit focus. Do you spend your focus on offense here to modify your attack up to 3, or do you save it and wait to see what your opponent rolls to see if you can push the damage through?
And I think that would definitely depend on the dice being rolled. So if I'm rolling like 3 attack dice and they're just rolling 1 and I get that hit focus result, I'm definitely going to spend it because best case scenario, they roll the evade and I'm going to do the same amount of damage as I would if I canceled their die. It's where you start to get to those 2 to 3 dice rolls that you really have to make that decision, make that gamble.
Yeah, if you're rolling against, like, Soontir Fell, I think you just keep the 2 hits and hope he doesn't roll more than 1 evade. Because then you can push damage through, which is pretty exciting.
Another thing, though, that I like about this ability is that it's very powerful, but I think it's also fairly costed. Because you do have to have and spend a focus token to trigger it. So it's not going to be, I think, overwhelming for the opponent. It's just that persistent threat of, man, I don't know if he's going to be able to just push damage through in spite of my high agility rolls and lots of modification.
Right, but this is a very powerful ability. I think probably most comparable to Omega Leader, where it gives you a way to consistently plink damage through. Yeah, you're not spending your focus on offense, so perhaps you're not doing high burst damage, but this guy's a twin laser turret carrier, so not doing high burst damage anyways, and gives you a nice way to push damage through on heavily modified defense rolls.
Well, I think very much what this card's role is, where it's supposed to fit in, is as the kind of cheaper Imperial ship we've seen in these kind of like triple ace builds, where oftentimes you'll have 2 more expensive aces in the 30 to 40 point range, and then you have a little slot of points. People have been using TIE Strikers like Pierre Sabak or Countdown to fit in that spot, or even now just a bomber loaded with some ordnance and guidance chips. I think this ship fits well in that range, and then it kind of adapt to the metagame, whereas to see, oh, is Lieutenant Kestel with Twin Laser Turret for 28 points a good counter to things I'm seeing in the metagame right now?
Right, 28 points with either adaptability or trick shot, or even a score to settle so that you're not using that focus on offense, or bumper up to Pilot Skill 9 with a Veteran Instinct seems like a pretty good choice. A Pilot Skill 9 Twin Laser Turret is, I guess, exciting. As exciting as a Twin Laser Turret carrier can be.
Intimidating, to say the least.
Yes, it's that.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners, just a couple quick updates. First of all, on the Patreon front, we've got our monthly raffle happening very soon. If you are listening to this show on the day it comes out, it is the last day of May, so this is your last opportunity to become a patron of Radio TCX and become eligible for our June raffle.
Yeah, for the month of June, we're going to be giving away two Alt-Art Ray promo cards from this Last Worlds. So if you want to be eligible for that, please sign up by the end of the month.
And of course, if you become a patron of Radio TCX at the $4 level, you'll be able to receive the exclusive Radio TCX mirrored acrylic target locks. We finally have them back in stock, and they are pretty sweet. So we would love if you become a patron and get these awesome target locks. Another super cool announcement is that Radio TCX is now live streaming X-Wing games.
Yeah, so either once a month or twice a month, we're going to be having live streaming parties where we have probably two games a night, and Tim and I or one of our guests will be commentating on those games.
Yeah, so our next live stream is coming up this Sunday, June 4th at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. You'll be able to watch us on twitch.tv/RadioTCX, and we'll be live streaming a couple games with some great local players. So we would love for you guys to check it out. Let us know how we can improve the stream and just watch some awesome X-Wing. I might even see if I can convince one of our players to try out maybe an Intensity Poe Dameron.
And now, back to the cast.
So we also, in this article, had a new upgrade card spoiled, the last of the five upgrade cards from this set. It's a dual side card, small ship only, called Intensity, and it comes in at 2 points. And this elite pilot talent reads, on the front side, after you perform a boost or barrel roll action, you may assign one focus or evade token to your ship. If you do, flip this card. And then the reverse side says, Intensity exhausted. At the end of the combat phase, you may spend one focus or evade token to flip this card.
Yeah, so here, this is very much in lieu with the push the limit design for a card. You get an extra action with a downside.
Well, and we're seeing that become more and more important in the game. Being able to have both a focus and an evade token, or even now just two focus tokens, is becoming very popular in Atani Mind Link builds, where having all that modification is really important.
Well, and here with Intensity, you can take a ship and have comparable of action efficiency to Fenrau, who often is boosting or barrel rolling and just having one focus. Yeah, Mind Link gives you a bit more versatility in what you do with your actions, but you can barrel roll and then receive a focus token, which, especially if you're Lieutenant Kestel, always wants to have a focus token. Of course, the downside is you're going to have to pay that token back at some point if you want to trigger the upside of Intensity again. I think the real strength of Intensity is not necessarily the efficiency of the action efficiency, but in the diversity of actions it grants. So a ship with barrel roll or boost, you can give it access to an evade token, which I think is probably the biggest value of the Intensity card, especially when paired with Comm Relay, where then you get to hold on to that evade token.
Yeah, this could be a definite boon to ships like the T-70 X-Wing, where you suddenly have access to another way to modify that defense and make you a lot more durable. And in combination with a Comm Relay, you get that evade token early, you hold on to it because of Comm Relay, and then later on while you're setting up, you can pay that focus token cost to flip this card back over.
Or TIE-SFs would really like an evade token, and they definitely have access to the Comm Relay as well. So that could be pretty exciting, or terrifying, because Intensity, Comm Relay, Lightweight Frame, now TIE-SFs are looking very much like original X-7 Defenders, except they also can have fire control system. So they're like all Vessaries.
Calm down, Carson.
That's pretty exciting. Don't tell me to calm down.
It's a pretty cool combination. What I'm really excited for. Another thing that's really cool about the card is if you do end up using it on a turn because you're uncertain and it doesn't, you don't end up needing that extra token, you can just immediately during that end of combat phase spend that token to flip the card back over. So it's a pretty safe bet to use it anytime you think you might need to.
Now, where I don't think it's as exciting is ships like Jake Farrell, which seems to be where the message boards went to first.
People have been talking about 5-action Jake with Push the Limit and Intensity.
So Jake can take a focus action, get a free boost, perform the boost, get a free focus from Intensity. That focus triggers Jake's ability. He can barrel roll and then push the limit for a target lock. But then you're a pilot skill 7. And if you don't do Intensity, and if you don't do Push the Limit and you do Veteran Instincts in Intensity to keep Jake still at pilot skill 9, well, then you're not ending with a target lock. So yeah, you can boost, barrel roll, have 2 focus results. But when you get range 1, your proton rocket's probably not going to hit for 5. And then your A-Wing's kind of doing nothing the whole game. It's dancing around and doesn't really do any damage.
What I think I'll say about that particular build is I think that's a fun one to play around with. I think when we're talking about competitive X-Wing, an A-Wing's still an A-Wing. It still has 2 attack dice. So like you're saying, Carson, even if you get that focus and that target lock, you're still rolling 2, maybe 3 attack dice in your attack.
Right, but if you're playing something with like Heroes of the Atari cluster where you can just stack upgrades on upgrades in casual games like that, then Intensity sounds like a pretty great card for Jake.
I am excited now for some Poe Dameron with Intensity and Comm Relay. I think that'll be pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, that one's a bit different where, especially with the Black 1 title, then Poe gets that option to boost and still maintain that focus token, which Poe always has to have. And so I think that's really another spot where we'll see the value of Intensity as ships that always want to have that focus token, like Poe and now like Lieutenant Kessel, where for their abilities to trigger, they need to have that focus token. But it gives the card gives them the option to boost or barrel roll when they need to, dodge an arc, and still maintain that action efficiency.
So, Carson, I wanted to speculate a little bit. The one piece of information we don't have from this expansion pack is the actual dial of the ship. Based on some of the promo art, we know it has a 2 green bank to the right. That's the one confirmed maneuver. What do you expect? 2 questions, I guess. What do you expect the dial to be for this ship? And what do you think the dial should be for a ship like this?
Well, I'm glad you put it in 2 parts because I think they will make the dial too good for the ship, as recent FFG ships released have had too good of dials. And there's really no going back after you release a dial that's too good. We've seen the impact of the Jumpmaster style just be unpatchable. But this is a TIE fighter, right? So it should be somewhat maneuverable. That's part of what the Imperial Navy has available to them. All TIE fighter have at least somewhat maneuverable dial. A TIE aggressor, I think, should be on the lower end of maneuver options. So definitely not interceptor good, but probably more comparable to a TIE SF or like TIE bomber. I mean, if you compare it to other turret carriers, you have the Hawk, the Y-Wing, and the attack shuttle.
The Hawk doesn't have a great dial, but the Y-Wing and the attack shuttle have decent dials in terms of maneuver availability.
Right. Well, the Y-Wing has access to droids to modify its dial. At base, it's not very good. But the TIE Aggressor also has access to the TIE Mark II ion engines, which also modifies the dial, turning all the banks green. So what I would expect is we know a ship has always a 2 green straight, and we know it has 2 bank green. So I'm guessing white 2 turns.
Seems reasonable. And I think as we've seen dials kind of evolve from earlier sets, they always try to include at least 1 white hard turn now, just because that's so important. We've seen how much Imperial Lambda-class shuttles can suffer by not having a white hard turn.
But if we look at the Y-Wings, like, their 3 turns are red. Hawks don't even have a 3 turn. So I would imagine they would only give 1 white turn to the TIE Aggressor. The thing with turreted ships and why they need to have a worse dial is you're really putting the onus in maneuverability on your opponent when you don't need to get your opponent's ships in arc to be able to attack them, when assuming your opponent is flying an arc ship and they need to be able to catch your ships in arc. That's putting a lot more of the burden of execution on your opponent. So to balance gameplay, turreted ships should have a more predictable dial. So that means fewer options, or you do things like what the TIE SF has, where it has options, but a lot of them are red. So like it has the one turn, has the three turn, but they're both red. I could see something like that for the TIE Aggressor.
So what you're saying is basically is that what it should have dial-wise is something that's a little more predictable, more in line with maybe the TIE SF, where it's got a lot of options, but there's like red hard turns. It's not going to be able to barrel roll, take the focus on those actions. What would you actually expect, though? Because I'm expecting, we've seen definite, I call it dial creep, kind of like power creep, but just in terms of how ships maneuver. Dials have gotten a lot better on ships that come out now. We see things like, obviously, the Jumpmaster is a prime example of a dial that just seems too good with a white sloop, a couple green hard turns, and then not a really good counterbalance there in the red maneuvers. I'm expecting to see something maybe, I don't know, more in line with somewhere between a TIE Advance and a TIE Striker, but maybe with that added lack of a three turn or a red three turn or something along that line.
I really hope these ships don't have any sloops. I think if they just had a 3 or 4K turn, I think that'd be fine. And I think it's fine if they have the one turn and the three turn if they're both red. I really don't want to see a white one turn on these guys, which a lot of TIE fighters have.
Yeah, that would make it very easy for them to keep range with like a twin laser turret or some other ranged weapon.
But we definitely could see a 4-straight and a 5-straight. That's definitely within the TIE fighter arsenal. Hopefully that 5-straight would be red. But I think especially when you're comparing the 4 TIE Aggressors with Twin Laser Turret to the existing Y-Wings with Twin Laser Turret, that dial, I think, is going to be a big factor in whether or not you prefer one or the other. I mean, because the Y-Wings do have access to the unhinged Astromech, which really does open up that dial. Having those green 3 turns is huge. It allows you to do those K-turns or 4 forward. So if the Aggressor is able to match or beat that, I think that would make that decision on which list to play pretty difficult.
So a lot of cool and interesting stuff coming from the TIE Aggressor expansion. We still are waiting on that dial, so hopefully we'll find out eventually what that dial is and we can start some serious list building. But let us know what you guys think of the TIE Aggressor. Post on our Facebook wall or tweet at us.
I think as far as a value of a purchase, the TIE Aggressor is pretty great. I mean, you're getting intensity, a twin laser turret, unguided rockets, lightweight frame, even a sync turret. So all good upgrade cards.
All for $15. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. We want to do a quick shout out for another new X-Wing podcast.
Yeah, so Incom Skunkworks just started an X-Wing podcast. They're gearing themselves to be a specific list building podcast where each week they innovate a new list. And for me, this lands right in the middle of my dream X-Wing podcast Venn diagram where it's talking about X-Wing lists and has excellent British accents. They're all authentic because they're from England, but I found that really enjoyable while listening to the podcast. Yeah, so check them out on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at @RadioTCXPodcast.
And if you really like the show, please consider going onto iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a little comment saying what you like about the show and why other people might be interested in listening. We'd like to give a special shout out to Captain Broadsides, who left a review saying that our show is short and sweet, but always has great X-Wing news. Thank you, Captain Broadsides, and thank you to everyone else who's left a review on iTunes. It really means a lot to us.
If you want to support the show directly, please go on to patreon.com/radioTCX and become a supporter of the show today.
And don't forget to check out our live stream this Sunday, June 4th at 6:30 Central Time. We'll be live streaming on twitch.tv/RadioTCX. So give us a follow and check out the stream.
Yeah, the live stream is made possible by you, our patron supporters. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you guys for listening to the show, and we'll talk to you next week.